drawing room over here.
Fairy tales are known for their happy endings, but there's always a sense of danger, darkness, often an attempted murder, even identity theft, in the case of Red Riding Hood's grandmother.
Ow! Who said I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood.
There's a very interesting theatre show about to hit the stage at the Melbourne International Arts Festival where they perform some lesser known and very bizarre fairy tales, or folk tales as they like to call them. The show is called Roots and it's being performed by the UK theatre company 1927. Genevieve Dunn is one of the performers. Genevieve, welcome to the drawing room.
Hello.
Tell us about some of the fairy tales you're performing in Roots.
Okay, so it's a collection of 11 very weird, short, folkloric jokes. They're described as folk jokes. So we've got Fat Cat, which is a cumulative tale about a very naughty cat that eats everything. Then we have Two Fish, about sort of these fishermen and his wife and their child, and it's a story about greed, essentially. What else have we got? Another favourite of mine is A Magic Bird's Heart, which is an old couple and they have a surprise visitor, and it leads to a lot of physical farce, basically.
Okay, so we've got a cat, there's a story about two fish, an old couple. How dark do these stories get?
Two Fish is probably one of the darker ones, actually. Some of them, yeah, I mean, they are quite dark. They're dark but comic, I'd say.
Okay, and why did you choose these fairy tales in particular?
So it was Suzanne Andrade, the director, creator and writer, who chose them along with Paul Barrett, who is the animator. So I guess they chose them for visual potential. But also just because they liked them. They found them quirky and weird and interesting and, you know, and totally different from the usual sort of cleaned up fairy tales that we're used to hearing.
Yeah, so why didn't you do Rumpelstiltskin or, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves or Hansel and Gretel?
I think Susan Esme, who is the co-artistic director, are interested in narratives that aren't conventional. They're interested in sort of the idea of rewriting or re-looking at what we believe to be conventional morals, you know. They don't like the idea of the prince and the princess and the standard traditional values that I guess a lot of, you know, Western society have kind of come to found their beliefs on. So they want to look back at older tales from, you know, a really diverse sector of the world and see what they have to say.
Right, that's really interesting because when I was thinking about this interview, I was thinking about fairy tales in this very kind of nostalgic, sweet kind of light and thinking about all the happy endings. But then I was like, actually, most of them, if not all, actually have an element of darkness.
Absolutely.
Or you know, attempted murder or identity theft in the case of Little Red Riding Hood's grandmother, who is actually a wolf.
Yep.
So are these stories different to those ones? Do they have a different kind of twist or do they not resolve in the same way? What's different about them?
Yeah, I think you're right in that they don't resolve in the same kind of way. They don't have an evident moral or necessarily a very clear ending. They're all quite open-ended. None of them are cleaned up, so none of them are the cutesy version of what they once were. They are the, you know, inspired by the original, the very blunt, shorter versions of these stories that have been so elaborated to become the lovey-dovey stories that we know.
It really raises the bigger question of what is a fairy tale? Does it need to have a happy ending? Does it need to have a moral? What do you think a fairy tale actually is?
Yeah, absolutely. I think fairy tale, I suppose Suze would maybe prefer the idea of a folkloric tale, you know, of a story that has been passed from mouth to mouth, from culture to culture, the stories that our grandparents teach us, that their grandparents have taught them. And I think it's the idea of magic and mystery, but also, yeah, the darkness that is inside each one of us and looking at the funny side of that too. It's a strange show. It's a weird show. It's weird and wonderful, but it is looking at folklore in its sort of purest, shortest form, as it were.
So do you think we have passed on a lot of moral values through fairy tales or are they just pure entertainment?
No, I mean, I think that a lot of fairy tales teach very stereotypical sort of gender roles and, you know, morals that we would believe to be the right way to go, obviously. You know, you believe in good and evil, but actually I think what the show is exploring is where's the line between good and evil, and can good and evil be somehow closer together and somehow merge?
Right. So do you feel a lot of the classic fairy tales are too clear cut with, you know, right and wrong and their moral judgments?
Yeah, I think, you know, the traditional fairy tales that at least that we would learn in school in England, you know, are very much they will end often with a pithy little sentence that, you know, tells you what the moral of the story is meant to be. And none of these stories do. None of them have a pithy sentence at the end.
Right. Okay. So you could walk away from the show feeling what?
Entertained. First and foremost, it's funny. It's dark. It's visual. I mean, you know, it's all against a backdrop of really vibrant animation. So I think first and foremost, it's a show to entertain. They were picked because they were enjoyed. They were enjoyable. They were shared with friends and family before they were made into a show. But yeah, I mean, I think they're thought-provoking as well, and very personal. I think every individual could take something different from it.
You're listening to RN. I'm Tom Tilley, and my guest in the drawing room is Genevieve Dunn from the theatre company 1927. She's one of the performers of Roots, which is a production of rarely told folk tales, not fairy tales, more specifically folk tales, because they don't have some of those clear-cut dimensions of normal fairy tales, as we've been exploring. It's part of the Melbourne International Arts Festival. Tell us about your show. What are we going to see and experience if we come along?
So it's 1 hour 10, so it's short and sweet. It's live music and an incredible array of instruments. Our two musicians they've got dulcimers, they've got bells, they've got bones, they've got strings, they've got, oh goodness, there must be more than 15, maybe up to 20 instruments in the show. So it's an incredible array of different sounds, very unique sounds. And then there's two actors and 11 stories, all set against this backdrop of animation from Paul Barrett. So it's interacting with projection. So it's a sort of a multi-art form.
Wow.
It's theatre, but with music and animation. It's very funny. It's very weird. And yeah, and I think it's unusual, unless you've seen their work before. And of course, there are other companies that do use projection, but I would say it's very, very unique form of theatre.
And have you been rolling it out in the UK already for a long time, or is it a pretty fresh show?
It's pretty fresh. So the creators gave it a premiere in Cornwall and then in the Spoleto Festival in America. And they then performed it at the Edinburgh Festival in Scotland and have then stepped out of the show and passed it on to myself and Philippa Hambly, who is the other performer in it. And the two musicians have remained the same, Francesca Simmons and David Inswakow. And yeah, so we have only, as a four, the four of us, we've only done one show in Margate in England. So yes, this will be our second stop.
How did it feel for you as an actor to be on stage performing these fairy tales or folk tales?
It's very surreal because we have white face paint, so it's almost clowning. We have these sort of very stylized costumes that make us part of the cartoon world. You're against this screen and you don't move far away from it, and your props are 2D as well. So everything is like you are within the storybook. So you really become part of the worlds that the animator and the director have created.
And what was the reaction to the show you were a part of?
So the one show that I performed, yeah, the reaction was great. A lot of laughs, a lot of, yeah, vocal reactions. There's some shocking moments. There's some more, like I said, more thought-provoking moments. But largely, I think, yeah, people are just super engaged because it is, you know, really short, 11 stories within an hour and 10. So I think, you know, you're never given the opportunity to turn off.
Is it the sort of show that you think children would enjoy? Or are the stories too dark?
No, I mean, I think 1927 shows are never created for children, but they're so visual that children almost always enjoy them. I mean, the animator has two boys who are 5 and 7, and yes, they are seasoned theatre goers because of their background, but, you know, they love it because it's like watching a cartoon. You know, it's like going to the cinema. It's this sort of cross-platform cinema versus theatre. You're watching both at the same time.
And how do you feel like it's going to go down in Australia? We share so much culture, but we're on the other side of the world, potentially have our own slant on fairy tales or folk tales. How do you think it will go down?
I think, like you say, I mean, it's a cross-cultural show anyway. 1927's work is always very internationally minded. I think, yes, because the creators are sort of England, London-based, it does have some British humour nuances in the language, maybe a London vibe, but essentially it's really for an international audience. So I think it's the type of show that would translate across countries, across, you know, worldwide, really. So I think, yeah, I hope Australia will love it.
And just like fairy tales, is the idea of this show really to transport people into that elevated, nostalgic, fantastical space?
Definitely fantastic. I'm not sure about nostalgic.
Because you've changed the stories?
Because I doubt many people will know the stories. They're pretty niche little picks from, you know, a huge, the RNA Index, which is an enormous collection of stories from across the globe. Maybe people will know them, but I doubt they will know many. So rather than nostalgic, I'd say maybe evocative.
Even better. All right, Genevieve, it's been amazing to speak to you. Good luck with the show. It sounds really fascinating. The music sounds beautiful as well. And of course, the stories at the centre of it sound wild and bizarre and really interesting. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Genevieve Dunn, she's from the UK theatre company 1927, and she's one of the performers of Roots, a production of Rarely Told Folk Tales. It's on as part of the Melbourne International Arts Festival from October 3 to the 6th. So that's this Thursday at the Malthouse Theatre. That is all we have time for today. You can hear the program online via podcast and the ABC Listen app, and also on Channel 26 on digital free to air. I'm Tom Tilley. PK will be back tomorrow at 6 o'clock.